Morning, everyone. It's just lovely to be with you. I was here last on the 22nd of December, just a few days before Christmas, and I can hardly believe that time has flown so quickly. And here we are, almost 3 months and a month and a half has gone of this year. Unbelievable. Well, hear the word of God as we find it this morning in 1 John. Chapter 1, 1 John, and I'll read from verse 5. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light. It's amazing that he says that God is light before he says that God is love. And if we see that speaks about God as a consuming fire, we have a systematic view of God. God is light and God is love. And if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies and cleanses us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. This is the word of the Lord. Shall we just have a moment of prayer and then the preached word? Shall we pray? Lord, my heart resonates with my brothers and sisters here this morning who've come to worship you. And so we ask that you would open our eyes to see your glory, open our ears to hear your word, open our lips to sing your praise, and open our hearts this morning to receive your grace. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've come to love this book of 1 John. And Robert Law, in a wonderful little book, his commentary, The Tests of Life, speaks of the tests that John brings in 1 John. And he speaks about the theological test that Jesus has come in the flesh, that he is God and that yet he is man. He also speaks about the moral test, that we live in holiness and righteousness, that we live godly lives, and he speaks about that moral test. And then he speaks about the social test, that we should love one another and that we should walk in the light. John, in his gospel, he writes, "These things I write unto you," and he says that Jesus is the Christ, that believing in Jesus, but in 1 John, he says, "I write these that you might know, that you might know." And there's an element of certainty as he writes this little intimate letter. In a world that of such incredible uncertainty, when you think of the elections coming, when you think of Nkandla and Marikana and all the things that we face, the economy and the issues that we face, here in 1 John is this wonderful little treasure, a little book about the certainty of life. And so for our meditation in the Word this morning, I want to take that lovely verse in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us and cleanses us from all sin. And it breaks itself into three very easy parts. If we walk in the light, then we can have fellowship with one another. And then thirdly, the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. My friends, this verse is spoken to Christians. And it begins with the words, but if. Then not all Christians are walking in the light. I want you to let that sink in just for a moment, because it poses the question, am I, are you walking in the light? So first of all, this morning, the condition in which we find ourselves. But if we walk in the light. And the light in which we must walk is meant to be the truth of God and the righteousness and the holiness of God. What He is and what He says. Now, if there is to be a walking in the light, there has to be, first of all, a coming to the light. And that's what is known as conversion. When you come into the light of God's love and grace and mercy, and He removes the scales from our eyes, and we see the Lord Jesus for the very first time, that's what it is, and we find ourselves in for a pretty searching time. And the light will reveal what is foul in our living and dispel what is false in our being. And when you and I were converted, that in a sense was coming to the light. And the concept of light in Scripture is used metaphorically in several senses. Intellectually, light is truth and darkness is error. Morally, light is purity and darkness is evil. And God's self-revelation through His law and prophets is described in terms of light. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Billy Graham was preaching at Hyde Park, and as he was preaching, there was a hobo who shouted out and said this, "You're cracked! You're cracked!" And Billy Graham responded and said, "I might be cracked, but the light is shining through." And I thought that was lovely. But if, will you bring your life in its totality to the light this morning? Every part of your life, your family life, your business life, your social life, your Christian life, your church life, every aspect. And so this verse doesn't just speak of coming to the light. Here's the rub. If we walk in the light, we must bring our lives into submission to the truth of God and the revelation of God's love and grace. Now the Apostle John is both pastoral and polemical as well. He writes and he says, "My little children." He's writing and you can see he's got a pastor's heart. And he says, "My little children, I write unto you that you sin not." But not only that, he's polemical because he is combating a heresy. And the heresy that he's facing is what is known as Gnosticism. Now, they were the know-alls. And they had a supremacy of knowledge and an impurity of matter. And they divided mankind into two sections. They said, as long as the spirit was okay, spirit was good, matter, the body, everything else was evil. Didn't matter what you did in the body, as long as the spirit was good. And some of them were thinking that sin didn't matter. They were saying we have fellowship with God, but they were walking in darkness. And John introduces this saying, he says, if you say, if you claim, and he begins to bring that. Now, some years ago, there was a doctrine, it was a heresy, but it was a pernicious doctrine called sinless perfection. Where people got to a place where they said, "Now I'm absolutely sinless." Well, a lady came to Charles Haddon Spurgeon and said, you know, that she had reached this state of sinless perfection. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, with a twinkle in his eye, said, "Well, you must be very proud of yourself." She said, "Yes, I am. Yes." Now, if that is a heresy, folks, and it is, then the doctrine of contentment with sinful imperfection is a greater heresy. And it goes something like this. "Well, I blow my stack every now and again. It doesn't matter if I tell a dirty joke just under the belt. I don't suffer fools gladly," which really means you're very impatient. And you know, John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And so you and I are to walk in the light, continuing in the truth of God and the will of God. But secondly, the communion to which we're invited. He says, if we have fellowship with one another. Commentators are not sure whether John means that the light we have fellowship with God in the person of his Son or with one another. And the right answer, of course, is both we're meant. If you and I are to walk in the light, we'll have fellowship with God on the vertical and we'll have fellowship with one on the horizontal. Listen to Jesus as he shares with his disciples in John chapter 4 and verse 21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. If you love me, keep my commandments, says the Lord Jesus. Now, we will never grow as Christians. We will never be useful in Christian service if we think we can grow as individuals. Only as we live in fellowship, the fellowship of God's people, will we grow. And how much there is for us to aspire to in one another. When we rebuke one another, when we encourage one another, there will be enrichment from one another as we grow in grace. And if we should fall and there's a cloud of fellowship, there's always forgiveness that follows swiftly upon our confession. Because John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May I just, in parenthesis, in a whisper, share something that I've discovered about evangelical Christians in this 21st century. We're living in a technological age. The internet and cell phones and emails and Facebook and Twitter. And I've been amazed at the social media with the Oscar Pistorius trial. Two of my friends went for a walk in a beautiful place called Sitaka in Currie's Post. And as they walked up the hill, my friend makes these wonderful Jiggy Jawler jams. And as she was walking up the hill, she saw a Zulu lady walking down. And she said to her, "Are there blackberries there?" This lady responded and said, "No, I've got a cell phone." So blackberries have got a new name and a new concept altogether. I've never had so many emails in all my life, and I was helping a church that was going through some difficult times. There were times when I'd get 12, 20 emails a day, just at a push of a button. You see, emails, there's nuances and means, there's a delicate difference of shade or meaning. There are innuendos. What did he mean? What did she mean? And you know, sometimes we send an email when what we should do is to eyeball and face to face share and speak to one another. Our fellowship means more than the difficulties we're going through or the disagreements we're going through. Would you find it in your heart to forgive me? But you know, when you press a button and you send it, it's so much easier to talk face to face. Your fellowship means more to me than the huge issues that we're going through right now. But let me pass on to the most tremendous statement of all. The cleansing that is offered. This is a fantastic sentence, and to me it's one of the most tremendous sentences in all the New Testament for the child of God. Listen to it. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. My friends, these words take us straight to the cross of Christ. And just a few days as we now enter into Holy Week, the death of Jesus as he died upon a cross for you and for me. And that's what the words the blood of Christ mean. The death of Christ. And all I want to say is that in the first place, these words speak to me and speak to you and to me of the mystery of the cross. Somehow or other, the death of Jesus not only has to do with my forgiving, but it has to do with my living. Listen to Professor William Barclay says, these words look on the sacrifice of Christ, not only which atones for sin of the past, but as something that equips a man and woman in holiness day by day. Professor Alec Ross comments, the present tense is deeply significant. It speaks of something that goes on constantly, that constant cleansing which every Christian needs. And so it's in the present tense. Keep on cleansing. The blood of Christ keeps on cleansing. I wished it was communion this morning. As we take the bread and we take the cup, how wonderful it is that we could be cleansed. And the Apostle Paul speaks of the cross that has something to do with my daily life. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. A young theological student asked his divinity professor, how long did it take you to understand the atonement? He said, I don't understand it yet. It'll take me all of eternity to understand it. I don't understand how the dying of a Christ upon a cross affects my living, but it does. I know this. The Word of God says that the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing from all sin. Grip that. Hold on to that. There's more to the cross than pardon. It cleanses me and cleanses us from all sin. Not just the mystery, but the ministry. Friends, that's the wonder of communion. And how wonderful it is when we come together. It's the very apex of our fellowship as we take the bread and take the cup. The Lord's Supper. I'm a sinner now, and I will remain a sinner till I die. But then I shall be changed. But as long as I'm a sinner, I have a cross that goes on cleansing, a Savior who goes on keeping me day by day. I remember many years ago counseling a couple who were going through marriage difficulties. The husband had been unfaithful to his wife. And at a particular time, he just got very angry and he said, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. As if it was some magic formula. And I began to tell him of the cost of grace and what it cost our Savior to go to the cross. Professor Andrew Murray, that great Scottish man, says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, original as well as actual. The blood of Jesus exercises its spiritual heavenly power in the soul. You know, friends, in justification, God does something wonderful for us. It's instant. It's absolute instant. And you know, when we're justified by faith, we walk away from God as if we've never ever sinned, ever. Somebody said to Abraham Lincoln, what are you going to do with the rebellious Southerners? He said, I'm going to treat them as if they've never ever ever been away. That's what God does in justification. But you know, in sanctification, it's a daily thing. Day by day, to experience the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus upon our lives day by day. I love that Afrikaans verse that says, Maar julle ongeregtighede het 'n skeidsmuur tussen julle en julle God geword. There's a wall between you and God, and God's broken that down. That's justification. But sanctification is when we live day by day, and God puts a premium on living daily. Be filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. And here is the keep on being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In the 17th century, Britain was blessed by the influence of a body of scholarly and godly men who are usually described as the Puritans. And they were noted for their profound understanding of the Bible. The Bible for them was a book to live by, a book to submit to, a book to preach and to practice. They were so concerned about expounding the scriptures faithfully and then to apply the lessons drawn from the text. So somewhere, as they were nearing the end of the sermon, they entitled it, The Use of the Doctrine. I love that. The use of the doctrine. This is where they would apply the truth that they'd been teaching and to show its meaning and its relevance for the life and the experience of the people to whom they preached. The use of the doctrine. As you leave the church this morning and as you go out into a week, all with its difficulties and its challenge, I was pondering over this text. And you know, it's the fellowship and the cleansing that depend upon our walk. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Myself and my Lord. My Lord and myself. Who are both with me in the light. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, keeps on cleansing me from all sin. Let me come back to that question that I asked at the beginning. But if, says the Apostle John, is there some Christian here this morning and you need to come back to the light? You've been drifting. And God is calling you back to the light of His truth and His righteousness, to the love of God who loves you. Are you prepared to walk in the light so that every day, every moment, this is your path in the light? Nothing concealed, nothing hidden, nothing withheld, nothing excused, nothing unworthy. Everything open to God's love and light. Listen, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, keeps on cleansing me from all sin. There's a lovely hymn that I love so much. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I want to invite you this morning, just in the quietness of this closing moment, won't you come back to Jesus? Won't you come back? Dr. John Stott, lovely, wonderful expositor of the Word, tells a lovely story when he was at Cambridge as a student after the war. And as all the students would go to the library, there was a little Frenchman from across the channel had come, and he was working in the library. And his English was very broken, and he couldn't really speak good English. When the students would ask him something, he would say, you can do with me as I wish. he would say, you can do with me as I wish. And John Stott said he was very small. They thought they could take him and put him in the waste basket. We could do with you as you wish. What he was really, really trying to say, I'm at your disposal. I'm at your disposal. Wonder if you've ever said that to the Lord Jesus. Here I am, Lord. I'm at your disposal. I want to walk with you. I want to walk in your light. And I know that we'll have fellowship together. And while we're walking, the blood of Jesus will cleanse me from all sin. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you that you went to the cross knowing full well that we would forget you, and yet you made such a wonderful provision of the communion service, the bread and the wine, and you infused into those simple elements such deep, deep meaning, your body broken for us, your blood shed for us on that cruel cross, as we will remember on Friday. Oh Lord, help us to walk lives that are holy and righteous and full of truth, so that the love of God will be seen in our lives. Hear our cry. In Jesus' lovely name, Amen.